Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
It was a full service for Pipa Durrani, including a bit of rhinoplasty, a new nose for the 31 Whelen Engineering Cadillac. They did do a windshield tear-off as well, and a driver change. It's Mike Conway who's in that car now.
So into the last 2 hours of the race, Jeremy.
Yep.
And there's been a bit of bump and grind going on. Pipa Durrani and Stoffel Vandoorne got together earlier on, but that's now has to be all forgotten for everybody. It's Mike Conway that got into the 31 car. Now in the darkness, a couple of people saying, how's it got so dark so quickly? Yeah, welcome to Sebring, Florida. It's not a gentle twilight. You get to the sort of sunset and then all of a sudden it's like flicking a switch at this time of the year. And it is dark around here, Jeremy.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah, there's a little bit of lighting, but not really nothing significant out there. And I'm just looking at the pace now, number 02 Cadillac. I think they realise there at the Cadillac Racing, the Chip Ganassi team, this race is under control right now. No point in doing anything dramatic. Alex Lynn has been turning consistent laps in the high 50s, low 51s. Not in the previous stint, it was Earl Bamber who was driving the car. He was doing 48s and 49s, low 48s even, and 49s. No hint of those from Alex Lynn. The gap from first to second is around about 32 seconds. It was 35 when he took over the car. So Alex Lynn is doing exactly what is required at this stage in the game. Don't press the issue at all. Just run consistent laps. Turn it over, and now inside 2 hours to go, he can get to the end with just two more stops.
One of them will be right now, Jeremy, as he comes into his pit box and the fuel nozzle goes in straight away. They have the passenger side door open. It looks like maybe, yep, new drinks bottle for Alex. No driver change going on, just four new tires, a whole lot of fuel, and some people fuel in the form of that drinks bottle.
Congratulations to Sacred Coffee Sports, setting up Sacred USA and launching it in winning style with Kevin Estrick, Michael Christensen and Richard Leighton, Jimmy Bruni yesterday in the FIA WEC. Tubbs and the team are over here. Thanks for your support of our FIA WEC coverage yesterday. Hashtag Coffee of Motorsport. The guys doing great work with their biodegradable coffee pods and some great single estate coffee as well. Under 2 hours to go. Now again, some of the storylines. Jose Maria Lopez back behind the wheel of the Ally Cadillac as the 48 car goes out after that brake problem.
Yeah, it was a long stop, wasn't it, by that number 48 car. It was, how long was the stop? 643, what's that, 10 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's going to put that car right out of contention now, and that's disappointing for that team. They had a really good run here last year, finished, should have been on the podium, but unfortunately a drive time infraction that dropped them outside, put them all the way to the back in DPI, and had a really, really good run going here today. I think it's awfully difficult for three drivers who haven't driven the car this weekend to hop into it, and I think, it's the more you drive the car, the more it becomes second nature.
Correct.
And the harder you have to work at it. I wonder whether, because they hadn't driven the car earlier this week, they had to work so much harder at the wheel of that car to get the speed out of it. They had the speed, but did they take too much out of it? Perhaps so with the brakes.
And don't forget they've got a
pit stop for GTD leader.
And don't forget they've got a brake-by-wire system in the Toyota as well, with electric retardation at the front, because they use the electric motor to slow the car down as well. GTD leader in the pits. And that was Robbie Fawley, who brought the car in, looks like it was Bill Oberlin that jumped into that car. Single stints, as they've got no drinks bottle there. Joe Bradley is in GT land with a story from Hardpoint.
I've got a great Hardpoint story. It's you know how we spend hours and hours and hours poring over data of engine revs and temperatures and gear ratios? Well, Rob Ferriel has got a fantastic app on his phone that's basically giving him human data. Rob, firstly, how does that work? Is that, that's on, you've just shown me on your phone, it's attached to your watch or something, is it?
It is, yeah.
So what does it measure exactly? What does it measure?
So it measures everything from my O2 levels in my blood, my heart rate, there's probably other things I can't remember, but it really tracks your health. I mean, it even tracks my sleep for me if I wear it at night. And ironically, I got the watch initially. It's a Garmin watch, and it does lap times. It's got a little GPS in it. It'll give me lap times while I'm in the car. But what I quickly found out, the more interesting data is what my heart rate does based on how the car's handling. And today, I'm about 30 beats per minute higher than I normally am when I'm in the car.
So just to give people an idea, normally you're in the car. What's your normal heart rate?
So normally in a stint, I'll get up to about 135 beats per minute. My last stint before I got out tonight, I was at 168.
Yeah, and I noticed that the graph is showing red when you get there. So that's kind of like saying you're at a dangerous level of heart rate here.
Yeah, so that's our engineer's level for how bad the car is.
So when you come in, you show the engineer, that's what I need you to sort out. Also, you mentioned calories burned.
So calories burned, another interesting stat. So at the Rolex, across the 24 hours, I burned about 8,000 calories. Just today, and I've only done a single and a half and a double, I've burned about 5,500 calories.
Incredible. I need to get in that car. Maybe I'll fit in my suit better. Thanks, Rob.
Triple stint for Bradley. Thank you. Joe, yeah. You'd burn more calories if you were sitting next to me in the car. You'd be terrified.
I'd need to do 24 hours of Sebring, though, wouldn't I?
Yeah. 365 days, mate. Me and you just driving round and round. Get back to our old fighting wits. Stu Bradley with Rob Furriel of Hardpoint. They've had a hard week. Their team had to rebuild the race car into the spare shell that they had after a bizarre incident. What looked to be a fairly incongruous run backwards into the tyre wall for Catherine Legg at turn 17. And it bent the right-hand wing support strut. And that did some damage further down to where it attaches on the mount. And that couldn't be fixed. So everything had to come out of that car and be changed into the spare car. Fortunately, they did have a spare car on the truck. But that is not the work of a moment. You're not allowed a spare car in terms of just rolling off a complete unit. So there has to be things like the engine, the gearbox, and various other component parts that gets carried across, and then it had to be scrutinized again. So that was Thursday night through to this morning. The guys working over 36 hours to get that car fixed. At the moment, that car is running. They have rewarded their team, gradually plugging away, and that car is in ninth position, and it is Catherine Legg behind the wheel of that Hardpoint 99 Porsche. Still this great battle going on in GTD Pro, Corvette, BMW, TR3, 10 seconds between those three, Corvette, BMW and Lamborghini Huracan, should I have said, 24.63 and 14. Add the 14 in there, the Vassar Sullivan car, it's another 7 seconds back. So that's the first four within 17 seconds. At IMSA Radio on Twitter, if you'd like to get in touch with us, and don't forget Michelin Post Race Tech coming up. So who are the next cars to stop and from where? Racing Team Netherlands, Dylan Murray will be in from second in LMP2. They're already up on the wall, I'm being told, from the pit lane. Joao Barbosa leading LMP3 for Sean Creech Motorsport in the Stars and Stripes car. He'll be in four laps time. All the GT Pro guys have got about 10 laps to go, and pretty much the same for the GT cars itself, led at the moment by Giorgio Cerniciato in that Jacob's coat of many colours Cetilar Racing Ferrari, by 7 seconds from Tony Wielander in slightly more pristine AF Corsa number 21 car, as Daniel Morad has rejoined for Allegro Motorsports in the Mercedes number 28. That one's going to be really interesting. They have not really deviated, but the Allegro car, so the Allegro car has just made the stop. That'll be the first car, that is the first car to start the pit stop cycle. The leader, Cetilar Racing, in GTD. That'll go another couple of three laps. Same for Tony Wielander. And same for Daniel Junkadella in the Gilbert Corduff Mercedes. He's just going to cross the line there as well. With 2 hours to go, what are they doing lap time-wise? They're doing two-minute lap times. They're getting 20... Shouldn't have scrolled away there. 20, 23, 24 laps. That's 48 minutes. So that's very... They might be able to just do it on one more stop. Jeremy, with some... sorry, GTD, don't worry.
Oh, right, yep, cool.
Cetilar Ferrari due to come in from GTD Pro. You've got the points, I think, the official points. We said we would have a quick look at them once they were confirmed for the... It was a little while ago now, but they have been confirmed now for Michelin Endurance Challenge.
Yeah, we have the results from 8 hours, and I'd forgotten. I'd been a bit busy, so I kind of forgot about it. But interesting reading. The results have been posted a while ago. I forgot to go back to them. But in DPI, the eight-hour mark, the number 10 car took maximum points. By my reckoning, the number 10 car and the number 5 now have 20 points apiece prior to the end of this race. The number 60 car and the number 31 have 19 points, so that's four cars separated by 1 point in DPI. In LMP2, the maximum points there were taken by number 52, allied to their second place points at the 4 hour mark. They will now have 22 points, equal with Racing Team Netherlands on 22. In LMP3, the maximum points for Sean Creech Motorsports, number 33, that I reckon will take them within 1 point of the leading car. That's Riley Motorsports, number 74. That car is now out of the race, so it's quite likely we'll see a change of lead there in LMP3 for the Michelin Endurance Cup. In GT Pro, massive changes here. Coming into the race, the Corvette Racing, number 3, was in 7th position, but having led at the 4 and 8 hour marks, they will now have 18 points to the 17 of number 9 and number 62, the 16 and number 24 BMW. Finally, in GTD, it was also similarly close. Inception Racing now, having taken the maximum points at the 8 hour mark, will have 20 points to the 19 of the AF Corsa Ferrari number 21 and the 18 of Wright Motorsports in car number 16. So again, very, very close.
Let's go down to Shea. Adam, there's been a bit of drama in the pit lane whilst we were documenting the situation in the Michelin Endurance Challenge.
That was a bad pit stop for the number 12 Vassar Sullivan Lexus. It looked like the right front headlight had all of a sudden gone missing. Jaws bit that car on the right front pretty hard. Richard Highstand got out and Scott Andrews got into that car. But in consulting with Brian Till, who had a better view of the left side of the car, it looked like the driver's side door wasn't closed because it had come off of its hinges. The mechanic who was trying to put the door back on the left-hand side was saying, no, no, no. They sent him anyway.
Meantime, Joe Bradley has seen the Cetilar Ferrari, the rainbow car, in and out. Joe, what was going on there?
Absolutely straightforward. Driver change, tyres, fuel. The 63 Lamborghini is in also from third place. And the TR3 Aston is in as well. Sorry, the TR3 for Lamborghini, of course. That looks straightforward. That's a driver change as well. I'm too far away to see who it was who got in. But it looks like the fueling still going on. There's a massive amount of fuel. goes into these GT cars, isn't it, the GTD cars. I'm not sure that's going to be able to get 2 hours out of it, though, as it pulls off and heads out.
No, Joe, but it'll be able to go on one more stop, I reckon. Anybody who's stopping around about now, that is going to be pretty tight. They're doing 20... So they're doing 2 minute plus laps in GTD, and they're doing 22 to 24 laps. Well, you know, double that, that's 48 minutes. And we've got an hour and 46 to go, so that's 60. 100. Oh, it's gonna, no, they're going to have to do two more stops. I'll take that back. That's going to be just over 100 minutes. 105, 110, something like that. So definitely another two stops for those GTD cars. Shea Adam has a little more to add from her end of the pit lane. Shea?
I was able to get a better view of that 63 stop for TR3 Lamborghini. Andrea Caldarelli got out, and it looked like Mirko Bartolotti got back in to take it to the checker.
Confirmed.
Mirko is the only one of the three drivers in the car who's actually raced the 12 Hours of Sebring before. He did that once in 2019 when he won the race.
Ah, 100%, batting 1,000. Very good. Thank you, pit lane team. Pit lane team yesterday, fueled by Sacred Coffee. And as I say, great to see them launching in the USA. So an hour and 45 minutes to go. John Hindhoff and Jeremy Shaw in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. It's building very nicely indeed. Mike Conway and Tom Blomqvist 10 seconds apart. Tom Blomqvist 10 seconds away from Tristan Fortier in second, and Tristan Fortier 10 seconds away. No, check that. That's entirely wrong. I'm looking at the wrong column. 7 seconds away of Mike Conway from Tom Blomqvist. 30 seconds Blomqvist from second place, and 30 seconds Tristan Fortier from the leader, Alex Lynn. Alex Lynn cruising at round about the 151, middle 151s. Jeremy, you noted that a little bit earlier on, not doing anything more than he has to do in that leading 0-2 Cadillac. They've only got one in the gun as far as Cadillac Racing is concerned, with the number one car really being out of contention from very early on. Did come back out from behind the wall, didn't it? But then it went back, and then it came back out. It's been doing the hokey-cokey, that car, a little bit. It is Ryan Hunter-Reay behind that car, and it is rolling at the moment. If you are just joining us, tale of war early on for some of the major class contenders. Andretti Autosport were out early with engine problems. There was an accident for Dragon Speed that broke the front end of that car. The Lamborghini of NTE was tapped from behind. That did the clutch. We also had problems in the LMP3 class for Mulder Motorsport. That was accident damage as well at turn 17. Both of the Heart of Racing Astons were behind the wall at one stage. In fact, they were both there at once at one stage. They are both running again. We've also had the number 7, LMP3, retire as well. And that was the 47 Motorsports car. We've had an issue with the 74 Ranch car. That was the pole sitter in LMP2. Broken radiators for that car. So there has been attrition in this race, and most of the people outside of the probably the top 30 have had some kind of issue, even if they have got the cars back out on the track. Maybe this is a bit of an old school Sebring this year. At the front of the field, Cadillac and Alex Lynn continue to lead. We're not going to get anywhere near the distance record, are we, Jeremy? We've had too many interventions from the safety car.
Yeah, you're right. What are we doing? 32 an hour. It won't be that far away, actually.
You reckon?
Yeah.
What is the magic number?
The last hour, we did 255 to 287. That's 32 laps. We've got an hour and 40 remaining, so that's a third of that is... What's a third of...
That's about...
Two-thirds of that. That's 20 laps. That's 50 laps to go.
Yeah. We're working 296.
Yeah.
So,
I think we're going to be a little bit short. But, I mean, like I said earlier on, it's been remarkable how this race, the distance has varied hardly at all over the last several years. In the record was set last year just by one lap on 349. But the three times, just one lap fewer than that has been recorded in 2017, 19 and 20. So it's pretty remarkable. I think, I think we're not going to quite get to it. But it's still plenty of laps. We'll be over 245, 246 laps, I would imagine, at this stage, if we don't have any more caution.
Word of another retirement from Shea Adam down the pit lane, and this is official.
Tower Motorsport packing up their pit box. Ah. That's how you know.
John Ferrano, Louis Delatraz, Rui Pinto d'Andrade, Canadian, Swiss and Portuguese. The Tower Events Tangerine and Black Car will be seen no more. They have decided to have an early finish. Who is going to be on the podium? Now, from the front of the LMP3 field, Sean Creech Motorsport, the 33 Stars and Stripes car's been in and gone. It was... Joe, was it fuel and tyres or just fuel for Joao Barbosa?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. I did find out that Joao Barbosa stayed in the car. They're going to do one more stop and they're going to put their hot shot in the form of... Where am I? There I am. It's going to be Malte Jakobsen. We've spoke about how quick that young Dane is, and he's the hot shot that they're putting into the finish.
Excuse me for butting in, but we've got, I think, a slow moving... Yeah, it's the Aston Martin of the number 44 car, and that's losing fluid from the front. I saw a camera with some spots on it at the exit of turn 17, and I was wondering if we were bizarrely getting some rain, but I think it's some fluid from the 44 car from the left front. I wonder if that's just clipped the wall. Certainly it's got a puncture at the front. It's running very low. Might be a suspension. He pulls into the pit lane, and this 44 car from Magnus, that's had its issues as well today at various times, but they've been running pretty solidly for a while, and that was eighth position.
It was
further up than that, wasn't it?
It was, John. Yeah, it was running in the top five for much of the race, maybe six prior to this delay.
GTD leader into the pits, car 21. That's the, of course, Ferrari, of course, and Tony Vierlander just gotten out of the car. Not sure who drove into the car. It's a full service tour for the 21 Ferrari. Comes off its jacks now. Driver being strapped in by one of the crew. It sometimes is the driver, the outgoing driver, that does that, but not in this case. Fueling still going in, and frantic work going on cleaning the windscreen. Driver just strapped in, door slam. 21 back out. It's all to play for in GTD. That's all to play for in all of our classes, isn't it?
Well, certainly is, yeah.
DPI, like I said a little while ago, the Ganassi team, they've got it covered now. All they need to do is keep it clean to the end of the race, and they will have no problem bringing home the victory if there are no full course cautions.
Well, that's the thing,
exactly. Ditto, Tristan Vautier in second place in car number 5 for Mustang Sampling Racing. That's the car that won here last year in very dramatic circumstances. And then Tom Blomqvist, he's a similar... There's about half a minute between each of the top three cars, but now Blomqvist, he's got his hands full. He's going to have Mike Conway all of a sudden is right behind him.
Magnus has exited the pit lane of their Aston Martin, but in here now, the GTD Pro leader, Corvette number 3. The rear exhaust pipes are slightly deranged, but I think that's okay. I don't think there's any damage to the diffuser. Fuel and 4 tires. It is still no driver change, though. They are saving the Spanish King for the end of this one.
Oh, beautiful timing, Shea. Well done. Duncan Tappy has been in and out for the number 22 United Autosports. Guy Smith that got in, he'll stay into the end of the race. The team very pleased with Duncan in his first LMP2 race for the team. He'll be running with them in the European Le Mans Series this year, of course. The 22 car not in with a shout, I'm afraid, today.
It's only a lap off the pace.
Yes, it is. I apologise, yes.
One lap and a bit off, perhaps. Scott Huffaker leads in the number 52 car.
But they've all got to pit the guys ahead of him. And in fact, Josh Pearson comes in from the second place in LMP2. So they've all got to do their equivalent pit stops, Jeremy.
Correct.
So it is a bit closer than I thought there. My apologies. It's getting late.
Yeah, and there was a change of position a few laps ago. Number 29 car, with the Guido van der Garde aboard, just overtook Kyle Tilley. That is for third place in LMP2. Number 29 car is the car that is leading in the Michelin Endurance Cup. Actually, it's tied. No, it came into the weekend leading the Michelin Endurance Cup for LMP2. Now, at the moment, it's tied with number 52 car that currently leads.
Sound of race cars at night is something very special.
Change of third place.
Yeah.
With Tom Blomqvist being overtaken by Mike Conway. He's certainly been charging hard lately. And he made up that gap very, very quickly over the last few laps over Tom Blomqvist. Not quite sure why that should be. And then still quite a long way back in the final runner on the lead lap, car number 10. That's Ricky Taylor. He's really made, up until the last few laps, had not been making much of an impression, if at all, on the number 31 or 60. 300 laps completed by our race leader, Alex Lynn.
Ta-da.
49.2, that's the best lap he's done for quite a long time. Just to hammer things home, maybe he was getting bored doing the 50s and 51s.
So, you don't want your driver getting bored, Jeremy, do you? Losing concentration. I can't see that with...
Pulled out an extra 2 seconds on that last lap. 34 seconds now lead between Alex Lynn in car number 02 and Tristan Vautier in car number 5. On board here, that's a BMW, isn't it? That's the number 96 Turner Motorsport BMW. Still leads the class.
Still right there,
And guess who's behind? It's Bill Oblin back at the wheel. We heard from Will a while ago.
Stint.
He was going to be, single stinting with Robbie Foley. He's back at the wheel of that car. And the car that's looking to track him down is number 47 Ferrari. Guess who's at the wheel of that car?
That would be Antonio Fuoco.
That would be Antonio Fuoco.
He's been quick.
Yeah,
he's been quick. That car's had a bit of banging around. It's got the...
Well, it hit Oblin earlier on, remember?
Yeah, that's right.
Got a penalty. If not for that, they'd be leading the class by a considerable margin.
They'd had damage before that. They have a new red door on. They've got some yellow tape over the left front fender of that car, the left front wheel arch. So, into the last 90 minutes. I mean, it looks comfortable, as you say, Jeremy, 31 seconds, but an off-track moment, somebody checking up in front of you, a puncture, can all be thrown away.
Absolutely right, John.
Even at this stage, that's the beautiful thing about endurance racing. It's never over till it's over. You don't want to have any miscalculations. Has the radio come in at the wrong time? Do you not come in at all? Into the pit lane for Scott Andrews, for Vasser Sullivan and the Lexus. That's well up in the top half dozen in GTD. Shea Adam is watching the Pro-Am car.
As suspected, the door is not closed. The window is sitting about half an inch out from where it should be. But the problem with this car, the reason it was brought into the pit lane now, it had zero headlights. That is not permitted by IMSA. So they put some tape on the left-hand side. It still has no headlights, though. And IMSA is saying, no, this car may not continue on the track because there's no headlights on it whatsoever. Oh, the roof lights are on, but there's still nothing from the front of the car.
Are the rear lights on that car? Because I did see a car circling.
Rear lights are on.
Okay.
Now we've got one headlight, which is the minimum mandated. So he is okay now. Yep. Johnny Knotts gives a big thumb up of approval. But before that, before he actually flipped that switch, there was no illumination from the headlight whatsoever.
Yeah, and that is the issue, Shea. Thank you for that. That if you've lost one light and then the other one goes for whatever reason, you would have to come in immediately. There's no if, buts or maybes in that. Scott's back out again in that car. Scott Andrews. Just looking to see what's going on with Gilles Gounon in the WeatherTech Racing number 97. Mercedes, they are 3 seconds behind Jack Hawksworth in the Vassar Sullivan Lexus in fourth in GTD Pro. I'm just trying to see where they are on their fuel, because I'm having reports from people around the circuit, a few people with keen ears, who are telling me that that car, at 8 laps into its what should be a 24-25 lap stint, is lifting and coasting. So,
which car?
This is Gilles Gounon in the WeatherTech Mercedes. So, for those that haven't heard that before, basically, rather than being hard on the throttle all the way up your braking point, you lift just a little bit earlier, coast at the braking area, maybe brake a little bit later and a little bit less severely, and you're saving fuel at that point. So, Gilles Gounon, maybe on a bit of a fuel save, he's got some. 18. He's got about 30, yeah, maybe 35, 38 minutes left in that car. Where would that bring us down to? Just under an hour, about 50 minutes, 50 minutes. That's going to be close, actually, for him doing it on one more stop. So that's what I was looking for there, Jeremy. Why would he be doing that now? He's trying to extend this to be his penultimate fuel load and go for one more stop at the end. They must be looking at the people around them, and Bill Oberlin, for example, he's 13 laps in, so he's going to have two full stops. Antonio Fuoco,
no, one more stop from here, isn't it?
Well,
he's only been out 96 car was in what,
I've got him, it's 13 10, laps in
12 laps, yeah, 13 now,
so he's got about 25 minutes maybe to
of laps. 29 laps, sorry, for a stint.
Oh, 29. The last views have all been 23, 24 for the GT cars.
GTD cars? They should be able to do 28, 29.
Yeah, isn't that interesting then? 22 for Oberlin, 22 for Chetilar, 23 for Gilbert Courtauld.
Oh, really?
28 for EF Corsa. Absolutely.
Yes, that's so more usual.
We haven't had any any yellows to affect that?
We've just the GTD Pro leader just made a pit stop. That's the BMW. Philip Eng is out the wheel of that car now. That took over. It led for a couple of laps after the Corvette came onto pit lane. I think the Corvette will now go ahead again. Yes, it will, as it completes lap 279. And the BMW resumes in second place. 6.5 seconds between first and second. And that gap has been pretty consistent now for quite a long time. Number three ahead of the number 24. The Mirko Bertolotti Lamborghini is only another couple of seconds further back, and then about 15 seconds back to Jack Hawksworth in the Lexus car number 14 in fourth place. Behind him, and only about 3 seconds, is Gilles Gounon in that Mercedes that you were talking about. And behind him is Julian Andlauer in the number 79 WeatherTech car. So the two WeatherTech cars, fifth and sixth at the moment. Was Andlauer a lap down? Yeah, I think Andlauer is a lap down now. Okay. Interesting.
Shea Adam is checking something out for us here. The Allegra Motorsport, the number 28, which is a car shape that has led its class, that Mercedes GT3, has just been down the pit lane. You spotted it, thought it was a bit early. What's going on here?
Alternator.
Oh, no, another alternator problem.
Yep. Yeah, I just went over and talked to Maxi Goetz and said, what happened? And he looked down, and then he looked back up at me, and he looked down, and then he goes, alternator. And I could feel the heartbreak for them. They were doing so well and just sneaking in, like we were talking about earlier on with Gilbert Cawthorpe.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, silently progressing. And for Allegra, it looks like the silent progression is not going to be on the podium.
Silent progression has ended. At the front of the field, pit stops in 5 laps for the leader, in a couple of laps for the third place wheel and engineer in Cadillac, and again 5, maybe 6 laps for the JDC Miller Motorsports, the Mustang sampling car, and the Bearshank Racing Tom Blomqvist car as well. Ricky Taylor with probably 6 laps to go. So they're all, again, very close. But very close here could make a difference.
Yeah.
Mechanical black flag for the number 12 car.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Is that the one that had the
light? Is that the one that didn't have the lights on? Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. That's the Vassar Sullivan Lexus, of course. Yes, it is.
Yeah, the GTD car, not the GTD Pro car.
Correct. So that I'm suspecting then exactly what we said was the danger, Jeremy, has happened. And the light has gone out in to the pit lane, the 52 from the lead of LMP2, 6th overall for Scott Huffaker, and the wins PR1 Matheson Motorsport car. This guy was on pole position. Ben Keating put it there. Scott Huffaker out, and a replacement set of tyres. Core Autosport telling us that they have fixed a broken steering rack, and Colin Brown's gone back out again in the 54 car. They've had their fair share of problems. They've had their fair share and everybody else's as well, haven't they?
Fair comment.
There's a few teams that'll be having a Taylor walk from this weekend. The true spirit of endurance is getting the car fixed and getting it back out, even when you know you've no chance of a decent result. But again, if you are a full season entrant either to the whole series or to the Michelin Endurance Cup, you want to try and get some points. Well, there's no more cup points until the end, so you'd have to be in the top positions. But if you're a full season IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship entrant, we've seen major positions in championships being determined by just a couple of lights, just spots of light around Sebring at various parts close to the apices of the corners, but otherwise darkness on the track. Looks like a whole swarm of fireflies on the infield where all the spectators have gathered as we come down to 83 minutes to go. Jeremy Shaw and John Hindorf in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. It's Rob Lomas up in London getting us to the world on IMSA Radio. I think there's a few teams here looking very carefully at the fuel mileage. Let's keep an eye on what's going on at the top of the field as well. That lead that was just over 30 seconds for Alex Lins down to 25. Don't read too much into that. 51 flat for Alex last time around. He'll be taking no chances in traffic. He's just gone through the hairpin at turn 7. Tristan Fortier chasing him down. Question mark. 149.3 for Tristan in the Mustang sampling car. 150.0 for Mike Conway. Tom Blomqvist is motoring along. 149.4. He's only 4 seconds away at the moment in the Mearshank Racing Acura from a podium spot. So fastest man in the top 4 last time around, Tristan Fortier in second position.
Battle for second position now in GTD Pro, with the BMW of Philip Eng coming under increasing pressure now from Mirko Bertolotti, the number 63 Lamborghini. And then they pulled out there. They're a fair way ahead of Jack Hawksworth, who's doing a solid job in the Lexus in fourth position. And then Jules Gounion, who's lurking only 3 seconds or so behind in that fifth position in the class. And those are the only cars on the lead lap in GTD Pro. Gounion's about a minute and change ahead of the sister WeatherTech car, but of course that's the Porsche. And that's the car, isn't it, with which Cooper McNeil is going to be scoring points this
weekend.
Yeah,
correct. Absolutely right. Julian Andlau may be trying to stretch his fuel just a little bit. So Alex Lynn, I reckon, due in either this time by or the next time by. That will leave him either 60, under 80 minutes.
Right.
Which we know he can do with one more stop.
Yeah.
So it's one or two laps. It doesn't really matter. That means that Alex has done his job, Jeremy, and he's got that car into the window for one more stop after the next stop he makes.
Yeah. And here is Mike Conway into the pits on lap 307. He's got just over.
Yeah, he'll be fine by the time he leaves, won't he? Because he's doing 22 lap stint. Shit, Adam is watching Mike Conway in that red and white Whelen engineering car.
He's had to stretch it a bit lately.
Well, if you want to know the faith that this team has in their drivers, Mike Conway is getting out of the car. There's 4 new Michelins going on, a whole lot of fuel, a windshield tear-off, and Pippo Durrani is not getting in. It's Tristan Nunez, the new boy to the team, who's expected to take this one to the checkered flag. Very big confidence they have in Tristan, and it's being rewarded right now. He's going to go out there and give it his all. Also into the pit lane, the 48 Ally Racing Cadillac. That will be fuel, tires, no driver change there. That's the sound of Tristan taking the Cadillac back out. And Jose Maria Lopez, it looks like, will take this one to the checkered flag. You guys were talking about Alex Lindu in. I do not see anybody standing up on Chip Ganassi's wall. They're not coming in just quite yet.
He's starting his 22nd lap.
Yeah, probably next time by.
Yeah, I think so. That car's also been lifting and coasting. According to our ears around that, Lynn's done a great job. Alex Lynn's done a great, great job. 22 laps last time around with an average.
Why is the BMW back in?
This is an unscheduled stop for Philip Eng, is it? Let's
He was only in 3 or 4 laps ago.
5 laps ago. Yeah. 5 laps ago. And Shea Adams saw some fluid going in there, Shea.
They had a blue bottle going into the right front of the hood of that car, just up against the windshield. But it was just a little bit of fuel and just a little bit of fluid.
That's an interesting one, isn't it? With an hour and 18 to go,
yeah,
they've been right there all day.
They have. And that's certainly not in the game plan, I believe.
Well, that'll be ringing some alarm bells. They don't have a backup. The other car is well off the pace. So Alex Lynn in this time around, we think. Ricky Taylor.
Bjorko's caught right up with Bill Oblin.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, just 1 second now. Last time I looked, it was 10 seconds. And that was only about 6-7 laps ago. So Foucault's closing quickly. Here we are.
2 seconds on the last lap, Jeremy.
Yeah.
7.5 in the last lap. Coming through the far side of the track at turn 10.
Turn 10 now. That's the battle for the lead.
So who is down in... Well, Bill Oberlin is 18 laps into his stint. Antonio Forco was 14 laps into his stint. And Adam has more news about the... Oh, there's the pass. There's the pass for the lead at turn 16. Check that at turn 14. Brilliant stuff from Forco. No real defence from Bill Oberlin there. That was not a Bill Oberlin that's defending. He's got something else on his mind. It's either fuel saving or there's another issue. He's drafting down the back straight to save a bit of gas.
He knows the Ferrari's faster. The Ferrari's not going for the championship this season. The Turnimo Sport BMW is. We won't be seeing that Ferrari in all the races this season. There's no point. I mean, clearly the car is a lot faster. Bill Oblin knew exactly what happened the last time Fuoco caught up with him at turn three. He completely misjudged it and hit the tail end of the BMW. and the Ferrari earned itself a penalty. So, yeah, there's no point in fighting it at this stage. Clearly, the Ferrari a faster car.
He said in an interview to Joe, didn't he? Said we haven't actually got the outright pace. We are having to out-strategise people. That's the BMW in GTD that's lost the lead. The BMW that's just been in from GTD Pro, which has been battling for the lead, now drops down to fifth position. With fluid having been added, Chet Adam has more details.
Many thanks to Matt Yocum, who pointed out that the last couple of laps that they've, last couple of pit stops that they've done, they have added oil each time. Now, they have a telemetry board down here for the crew to stare at, and every couple of seconds, there is one labeled P gear that flashes up with a red caution symbol and zero bar pressure. I'm wondering if maybe it's gear oil that they've been adding.
It's the gearbox pump. That is exactly what it is. And that would mean difficulty in changing gear. Necessarily the lubrication of the box, but the actuation of the paddle shift system. Into the pit lane for the leader, Alex Lynn. That has been a tremendous stint. In fact, a tremendous couple of stints. That is 23 laps as he's gone across the line. And that puts him well in the window to stop just one more time before the end of the race. After this stop with Shea Adam.
He's done for the race, John. It is Alex Lynn staying in the pit lane, because good luck getting Earl Bamber out of your car after saying, hey, buddy, we're close to the checker and we've got a shot at the win. It's fuel, tires, windshield tear-off, cleaning of the radiator, actually, as well, trying to pull up giant bits of rubber. They've done that. Clean the headlights a little bit there, too. I was trying to figure out what they were cleaning. That's what it was. And bringing the old Michelin back over the wall. Earl Bamber has been unleashed. I do have two important updates. It was a power steering pump for the 28 Allegra Mercedes. After further investigation, the team
another
reported
power steering
power
issue.
Steering. Yep, yeah. Another one. But this is the first time that it's been a GTD car as opposed to GTD Pro. Not that it matters, because
first
they're all
time
the same machinery.
Yeah, it's the first time that it's been a Mercedes, an AMG as well.
Yep, and the spotters are starting to report flashes of lightning in 2016.
It's funny you should say that. I'll come back to that in a moment. The top four have all come in. Earl Bamber is down and away and gone. Tristan Fournier in for JTC Miller Motorsports. That's the Mustang sampling car in fifth position. 21 seconds the gap as he went out of the pit lane. That came down another 3 or 4 seconds more than from when they went across the line the last time in race trim. Tom Blomqvist is in for the 60 Meyer Shank Racing Acura, and also in the Acura of Ricky Taylor, the number 10 Konica Minolta car. They've all done a minimum of 22 laps. So Tristan Nunes has cycled back through. Let's see where he is on the track, the number 31. That car needs a little bit of help to be back on it. He's at turn 5 at the moment. So
0-2. Incidents involving cars 13 and 02 under review.
Oh, didn't see that out in the darkness, Jeremy. These things sometimes do get away. The 13, of course, is the AWA LMP3 car. That's the black, one of the black and yellow cars.
It's fourth in class, but much more significant. The race overall race leader. Incident responsibility, drive through car number 02.
There goes most of the lead. There goes most of the lead.
Here we
now
go.
Now, this was out on the far side. It's turn three.
Yeah.
It's turn three again. Now, that was...
Is that the outlap?
That was the outlap, Jeremy. Because it had the number two on the side. That's Earl Bamber going down the inside, either the outlap or his first lap around. And that is a bad miscalculation by the Kiwi. Oh. He's in the pit lane already. That 23 seconds that he had on Richard Westbrook is going to come down massively. Where is the number 5 car? It'll close it up. It's not. I don't think it's going to result in a change of position, but that's going to close things.
Well, yeah, it is.
Oh, he's gone through.
Yeah.
Westbrook's just gone through. I tell a lie. My goodness me. And there they go. There they go. Oh.
I mean,
and that's the whole ball game right there, potentially.
Absolutely. Yeah. We talked about it a couple of hours ago. Everything completely in hand, just don't make any mistakes. And there was,
Porsche keys to the race, yeah. No mistakes and penalties. Yeah.
Particularly when you're way out in front. There's no chance of being caught. And that's just a bizarre mistake to make. Wow.
Shea Adam down in the pit lane, sorry.
I was just asking who the driver of the 13 was at the time, because if it was Lars Kern, that makes it even more uncomfortable. Lars, who is
very good.
Porsche blessed driver.
Well, he does all their fast car runs. It was Kuno Whitmer behind the wheel of the Duquesne.
Yeah, so he wouldn't have been dallying around.
No. Just a misjudgment, I think.
He had slowed out because he had a spin. Right.
Coming up to 9 o'clock in the evening, coming very close to the last hour of the race. You're listening to live IMSA Racing from Sebring. It's the Sebring 12 hours, the Mobile One Sebring 12 hours live on IMSA Radio.
Talk about stings in the tail. It always happens, doesn't it, at the Mobile One 12 hours of Sebring.
Sebring delivers once again. That was turn three.
Yeah, so Westy will lead this race at the completion lap 312.
So an hour and 10 minutes to go. And a change, another change of lead,
25th
Jeremy.
25th lead change.
Has the Mustang Sampley car led before? Yes, it has.
Yeah, all of the cars that haven't had a problem, other than the 01 car.
Yeah.
All of the cars that have led in DPI, all six of them. Wow.
Looking at the weather radar, a few storms popping up.
4.8 seconds after that penalty is the gap between first and second. We've got a battle on our hands now, and only 13 seconds further back is Tristan Nunez, and only 4 seconds behind Tristan Nunez is the number 60 car of Tom Blomqvist.
Put that another way, Jeremy, the top four, of which only three can stand on the podium, are separated by just under 22 seconds.
Yes.
With one pit stop left for all of them.
So, now, wow.
Also back in the pit lane is the GTD number 12 Lexus. That headlight's been going on and off, and they're getting repeated mechanical black flags. They're going to have to do something slightly more permanent about that before it's allowed back on the circuit. Well, if you've just joined us, whether you're around the circuit coming back after maybe a little bit of socialising or a bite to eat, if you're on Highlands Best Country 99.1 FM WWOJ, on News Talk 7:30 AM on 95.3 Sirius XM Sirius 206, while you're watching the world TV feed, this has boiled up nicely, and a moment's miscalculation makes a huge difference. Porsche keys to the race, get to the dark and be fast. And the 02 Chip Ganassi Cadillac, the Cadillac racing car, had done exactly that. Alex Lynn with a super 44 lap double stint, stretching that car's fuel to get them to be able to go to the end with just one more stop after he got out of the car, lifting and coasting but keeping his pace up. And then a tiny error of judgment, maybe just cold tyres caught out Earl Bamber,
yeah, maybe
on his outlap,
yeah,
clipping the back of the AWA prototype, spinning it around at turn three. Again, a very easy decision for the race control to make, and I don't think anybody's going to have any complaints about the decision. They'll be disappointed that it's happened, but that is the fragility of even a lead. Remember, it was over 30 seconds before the end of Alex Lynn's stint.
Yeah, he came down to 22 because
he was lifting and coasting, he was making sure that he was saving fuel.
Yeah, did an extra lap on the fuel as well.
Correct.
I mean, no one has done, I think that's the first time anybody has done 23 laps in one stint here. So, you know, everything was absolutely perfect there. The gap had come down, as you say, from over 30 seconds, it was as high as 36, down to 22. It was before he came in for that pit stop. But again, you know, no reason to get flustered there.
Well, it's brought four cars into it, really,
yeah,
hasn't it?
Well, now, yeah, and if there is a false cause caution, Ricky Taylor is running in fifth place, so you're not going to count him out, are you?
No, indeed. But when you consider now, there's the same gap between the top four as there was when between first and second when Alex Lynn came into the pits, just under 22 seconds.
And each of the last two laps, Earl Bamber has made up a second on Richard Westbrook.
And he's now just 2.5 away. Now, this is the value, of course, of Alex Lynn having saved a bit of fuel, because that does mean Earl Bamber can run full rich and full attack to try and get this back. Drive-through penalty for the number 12 Lexus for not responding to the mechanical black flag. This is the lightning issue for that RCF. I can see race control having a sense of humour failure on that fairly quickly, actually. If that car doesn't come in, they'll just get stop scoring that car. That is a safety issue. In LMP2, Mikkel Jensen is in sixth position. And leads LMP2 from Racing Team Netherlands. Handy couple of minutes on the field there. LMP3, Joao Barbosa by 44 seconds from Garrett Gris for Junior 3. And they've got seven laps on the third place performance tech car. It's 33, 30 and 38. That's the three Ligiers, actually, first, second and third. GTD Pro Corvette Racing, who lead it. From TR3, Racing's Lamborghini now in second. 10 seconds between those two. Three from 63, yellow from bright green, and then the yellow and black of Jack Hawksworth and the Vassar Sullivan RCF GT. That's the 14 car. They're only 2 seconds ahead of Chulquinon for WeatherTech in the Mercedes. So that lifting and coasting from Chulquinon, that's done them no harm either. And that puts them in a decent position. They're are 21 laps into their stint with just on 1 hour and 4 minutes to go. The Allegra Motorsport car, which had its... was that an alternator problem, Shea, that you told us? Oh, no, that was another power steering issue, wasn't it, for that car? Apologies. So that is back from behind the wall. That car led GTD. Josh Pearson comes in from third place for PR1 Matheson Motorsport. 16 years old on the 14th of February and already a class winner in the FIA WEC. He'll give up that third position to Aero Motorsport, but they've got a pit stop to make. So maybe two podia in 2 days for that young man. We have a rash of teenagers in here, 2 16-year-olds and a 17-year-old, at least that I know of, without even looking at the stats. So, Jeremy, it's all getting interesting again at the front of the field. Earl Bamber's taken another second or so. It's just under 2 seconds now. Richard Westbrook's picked up his pace. He was under 150 last time around. Top three. In fact, four of the top five, all under 1 minute 50. It's starting to speed up again. This is where that fuel save from all of the drivers has helped, whether it's them in the car or they've handed it over to their teammates. They've got them a little bit closer to the end of the race, which means they can turn up the wick and go full fat to the end.
148.3 that time for the second place car at Earl Bamber. The gap from first to second now below 2 seconds.
Power steering pump has been replaced, confirmed for Allegra. They're going to try and go to the end for points, for a points run. Well, well.
Yeah, and it looks like Tristan Nunez can't match that pace
in
that third place car, number 31. But he is extending his advantage over the pair of Acuras that are running in fourth and fifth, number 60 and 10.
He's the one who's done the most laps since he last stopped, Jeremy. He's done 9 laps. Yeah. So that gives him another 13 to go. So that's 26 minutes, let's call it. That's going to take it down to 34 minutes. Yeah, that's doable.
It's comfortable. Yeah.
Absolutely.
2 minutes to the last hour. Let's have a quick interview. Inception, Sean Goff with Joe Bradley.
Sean, I know yous are out of contention, so that tells me you've had a bit of a tail of war, but you were leading the race at one stage, and I was really proud of you guys.
Yeah, I mean, the guys have battled hard, get from the back of the grid up to P1. You know, the credit to Ollie Milroy, Brendan and Jordan Pepper, they've put in a fantastic stint. You know, we unfortunately picked up a bit of an issue with refueling at one of the stints, and it meant we had to come in and shorter than we needed to do, really, and sort of put us on the back foot. It's put us out of sequence with the refueling. The guys are holding fingers crossed for a safety car to just bring us back in contention, but as things are going at the moment, it's looking like it's you know, P6, P7 is all we can really hope for, really.
It's called character building, Sean. Thanks, mate.
Live to fight another
fifth
day.
At the moment.
Fifth at the moment in the class for that car.
20 seconds in hand over the Magnus Aston Martin.
2022, the second event of the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship season. It's the 70th. Mobile One, 12 Hours of Sebring, presented by Advance Auto Parts. You're listening and watching live, IMSA Radio and IMSA TV from Trackside and the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. The battle for the lead is under 1 second. It's Richard Westbrook for JDC Miller Motorsports. Their Cadillac leads from Earl Bamber in the 02 car, the black with the red rear on that car. And the last hour of racing starts right now.